Blog Talk Radio.
Again, Bilal Masovic behind it. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, bro.
Okay, I'm sorry. Our direct connect went out on us again, so I had to come in through the mobile device. But anyway, we're on. And again, welcome to tonight's show. This is the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association of Washington, D.C. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. And of course, again, I can introduce my co-host properly now, Brother Isaiah.
Yes, Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Good afternoon. I come back, Brother Bilal.
Yes, well, same here, Brother Aziz. I am going to go ahead. We won't waste too much time. Let me just open up, and I think Sister Muhammad, she see if she's with us. Sister Aisha, are you with us? Sister Aisha. Okay, we will. She should be coming on, hopefully, at any time. I do know she said she had a few appointments, but we're still looking forward to her coming on. And whenever she get a chance. So again, Sister Aisha, are you with us? Well, I'm saying she will be. I am going to switch over now. Let's go back to Oklahoma. And Sister Williams, are you with us?
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and assalamu alaikum to each of you.
Greetings, and
how are you doing, Sister?
Okay.
Some of us from Oklahoma are here, and hopefully we have some guests from Oklahoma, but we'll get into that a little later on.
All right.
Yes. Well, we will go ahead and get started. I'm certain, again, this is a continuation of the natural disasters that we've been discussing now for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And of course, this is we are into continuing that conversation because, as you know, there is a we've been waiting on this training that is going to be announced, and I think the sister, when she come on tonight, she'll be able to tell us more about it. Have you learned any more about it yet, Ms. Williams?
Yes, sir, Brother Bilal. I understand that the training has been moved up now to July 9th. The training that was supposed to have started on the 25th of June, we're going to be starting that training on July 9th. And that will give others more time to get prepared and registered to take this to get this worthwhile information that we all it's something that we're all going to need. It's beyond want. This is something we're going to be needing. You know, I seen brothers today. Well, it could be a fabrication. However, it's something to think about. The way things are going now, and especially with that that egg hatchery disaster, where the things burned down mysteriously, they said the way it looks, eggs by the fall may be $22 a dozen. So,
whoa.
Well, whether it's true or not true, even the thought is enough to get us motivated doing some type of preparedness training so that we can be more proactive to what's coming than reactive, my brothers. And that's what I'd like to share at this time. It may be something else as we go along, but for now I want to put that on your mind.
Well, Sister Williams, you are right about where we need to be. And at this point, I think Sister Aisha is with us. Sister Aisha, are you with us?
Yes, assalamu alaikum. How is everyone this
evening? Well, that was good.
And you know, we're going to turn the show right over to you.
Thank you very much. You know, there's so much happening in the world, especially in the U.S. Our concentration cannot be just in the U.S. It has to be in the world. Because one of the things that we want to emphasize in the training And we are sorry that we had to move it back, but logistically we thought it was best. And also we did not want to interfere with the 4th of July Memorial Day weekend. And so the 9th is the best time for us to start the training. And hopefully we are going to release the schedule for the entire month of July. And people will have an opportunity, if they can't make one schedule, they can make the next schedule. And so there will be plenty of opportunities and plenty of seats available for people to come on board. And one of the things that we're going to especially emphasize in the training that has not been emphasized, not to the extent that people readily know about it, and that is the consequences of storms. You know, we learned during the major storms of 2020 how one storm that can happen on the southeastern part of the U.S. can affect the occurrence of a disaster in central U.S. And that storms, a consequence from a hurricane or another major storm, can be felt 1,000 miles away. So if you have a tornado that spawns floods, the tornado can be in eastern U.S. and the flood can occur in central U.S. And so, and we're going to go into the detail of this kind of information in the training because it's absolutely imperative that all of us truly understand what is ahead of us. And this is not the consequences of the disasters from one part of the U.S. To another. It's not, we seldom hear that. And I have asked repeatedly why that kind of information is not available to the public. But it is available. But you got to have a research team that dive deep into all of this information that's published and be able to pull it out. This is what I was told when I inquired, well, why isn't this available? They say, oh, it is available. It's published. And sure enough, it is published. But who would ever think to dig deep down in the details of the publications to pull out this kind of information? And this is what our team is constantly doing. And the things that they are coming out with, they come back to me and they say, do you want us to put this on the agenda? And I'm saying, let's hold this, but we will get it out to everyone because we have to know this stuff, folks. And we have to understand the trillions of dollars that have been spent on disaster recovery and on the storms. And the trillions of dollars, not billions, not thousands, but trillions of dollars that will be spent going forward. We have to be in a position as a group of people, and I say group of people because, you know, as I said the other day, they always come up with these new names for us. And so now we are the affected class, the affected group, the underserved population. Well, I don't buy into all of these different terminology for us because I know who I am and I know who our people are. But, however, if we're going to become a very important part of this society, we too must be able to access funds, get funds for our communities. And this is what we can do if we work together. Now, I didn't say our neighborhood. I said our community, because one of the lessons that FEMA and the other agencies learned from the Vietnamese people when there was a major storm, and I have it in my note, the particular storm, and maybe before the end of the night I can find it, but when they were asked how did they mobilize their people so well during a major storm, their response was, Americans have neighborhoods, but we have communities. And they were able to mobilize the community of Vietnamese all over the United States to come into those disaster areas and to help a smaller population of Vietnamese. And perhaps we have a lesson to learn from that. We have got to go back to the whole concept of community. If we can do that, we used to speak that way. We used to talk about our community. What community are you from? I'm over here. I'm over there. We seldom said neighborhood. We talked about communities. We've got to get back to that because that's our strength. And we've got to be able to put ourselves in a position where we can request the funds, but we cannot request funds unless we come in numbers. And this training hopefully will mobilize folks all over the U.S., and we will go as a community and with large numbers requesting funding. So far, that has not happened. It hasn't happened any place, but we can do this. And so I'll take you all's questions, but I want you to know that there are consequences of these storms from one part of the U.S. to the other, and we will have a chart and we will look at this in the training, and you'll be able to how we have to become more aware and more educated and more informed about what's going on. Okay. So anyone okay, have questions, please, I will be here.
Our mics are open. Any questions anybody has for society? Our mics are open. You can ask whatever questions you will. You know, Sister Aisha, I think that some of our listeners may be sort of new listeners. They may not know exactly, they may not have been heard many of the presentations that we've been given on this natural disaster subject. But if you will, maybe just introduce yourself and give a slight summary of what we've been talking about and the training that we are trying to get most of the folks in our communities to hear and register for this training. Let me just say that this training, I think, and Sister Aisha will tell you, I think it's around $49. I know it's less than $50. MassJet or any church that wish to give this training to their and Sister Aisha, you know about this, so I'm gonna let you explain it. But
yes,
we're willing to. I'm gonna let you go ahead and explain it. And
but
I think that a general summary of what we've been talking
about. Let me tell you about the training. This is
okay,
a training.
Sure.
Summit Environmental. Excuse me. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go right
Hello?
Ahead.
Okay. Summit
yes,
Environmental
we hear you very
Resources.
Well.
Summit Environmental no, we hear
you
Resources.
Very well.
Okay.
Go right ahead. We
Summit
can hear
Environmental.
You.
I don't know, we're getting some feedback. Summit Environmental Resources is a corporation established in 2016 to become very involved in the environmental sector. My previous experience has been in oil and gas, renewable energy technology, and mining and exploration. And my experience go back about 25 years in the environmental sector. One of the things that Summit decided is that we were going to take 2 years, 2.5 years to do research and development, just research, because we knew that this is a sector that we have to become experts in. And that's what we did. So we, our headquarters is in Charlotte, North Carolina, on North Tryon Street, just a couple of blocks, four blocks from the headquarters of Bank of America. However, since COVID, I'm here at my home in Durham, North Carolina. So I'm speaking to you from Durham. Our objective as far as this training is to give the total population, we have to use this total population of humanity, the knowledge and the skill set in order to survive a natural disaster. Now, if we look at the history of natural disasters, just about every politician, every scripture, every information we have now is that storms are becoming more frequent and they're becoming more intense. This we have to be prepared for, and we have to get to a point where we actually believe this, because this is the reality of our lives. So what we want to do, some of the objectives of this training is to help you prepare, help you to mitigate the impact of natural disaster. Now, when we have a training, we're going to talk about vocabulary that we have to understand and make use of going into this new era that we're going into. So we're going to talk about vocabulary in the training. But we want to mitigate, lessen the impact on your families and on your community from disasters that we know and that you will know that's coming your way. In addition, we want to establish community-wide networks to propagate the understanding of climate change to the broader community. We want to help young people as they move into an understanding of what kind of professions that they have to pursue going into the future. Now, this course, and more importantly, we want to give families one less thing to worry about. When you're empowered with knowledge, it takes the worry out of your life, because one of the consequences of all of these storms is emotional and psychological stress on the families and on the individuals, including the financial stress. The courses, the training will last. The first part of the training, we're going to come out on the 9th. It will be every Saturday of July. We will alternate the time on those Saturdays because we recognize we have people on the West Coast. And so it will be different times every Saturday, just about. In addition, in the month of July, we're going to have two trainings through the week. And those dates will be announced because we want to get a feel of the population. Can the people make a weekly training? If the population can make a weekly and a Saturday training, if our numbers look well, then we can increase the number of training. But for the month of July, we're talking about 6 training sessions total for that month. But we know we need to increase that. But we have to do a little survey of people who register for the course. It is not Summit's idea that the training is to be free, but it is our desire that it is at a price point that people can afford. And this is what we say. If you have to pay $45 or $49 with tax for this course, bring the people that live around you. Bring other people to your monitor. If you can get 10 people around your monitor to be trained for that for $45 or so, I think you got a deal there. So do whatever you have to do to get people there. We also want to make sure that you go to Summit's website and to see what we are all about, see what the corporation is about. And that website address is, it's a simple address. It's Summit, S-M-M-I-T, E-R, E as in elephant, R as in Robert, I-N-C.com. Summit, E-R-I-N-C.com. Just go on our website, and you'll be able to get more information of who we are and what we're about. But we know that this training is imperative for our community, and we are stepping out on faith, folks, that the community will respond. Now, if you all have know of other organizations that are offering pre-disaster training, please do let me know, because this is a huge undertaking. I know that we're not the only people that's doing it. But what I can tell you, in the last couple of months, maybe 2 or 3 months, part of the research that we're identifying is that there are groups throughout the U.S. that are being formed, and these groups are preparing themselves for the disaster. Statistics tell us that the population Zen, G, Z, and X, and that's the group between the age of 25 and I think 40, they are 80% prepared for a natural disaster. They are the group that call themselves the survivalist group, and maybe you've heard that name. They're the survivalists. They're 80% prepared for a natural disaster. The minority population in this country is only 20% prepared. Preparation has nothing to do necessarily with education level. I was in a room a few days ago, and you all stop me at any point and ask a question. I was in a room the other day with some officials, city and government officials, and I asked the question, how many of you believe that natural disasters coming our way is real? And they all held up their hands. The next question was, how many of you in this room are prepared for a natural disaster? And it must have been about 75 people, and of that 75 people, 3 people held up their hands. Now, so all of these people in that room had at least a master's degree and doctorate degree, but they were not prepared. So one thing this is educational. The ones that have the most education are the ones that are the most prepared. That is not the case. The ones who are prepared are the ones who are consciously aware. And this is what we're going to talk about in the training. The difference between being aware and being consciously aware. And case in point, we just heard a siren, emergency vehicle go down the street. You are aware that there was an emergency, right? That's what awareness is. You know it because you hear it all the time. You just know it. But to be consciously aware means that you have internalized the understanding of that situation and you are prepared to take action. That's being consciously aware. And that's what we were back in the 60s, remember? Everybody knew that we were oppressed and that there was discrimination, but it was not until the Civil Rights Initiative began that people became consciously aware, and they took action. We started demonstrating, we started saying no, and we started challenging the status quo. That's conscious awareness. Is this clear? Is it clear to anyone?
Sister Aisha, I was just sitting there thinking, why you talk when you started talking about the natural disasters. You know, when it comes to food, they're talking about sending warships to Ukraine because that's where the United States had given so many contracts to the farmers to have produce grown in the fields so we could have food here in the United States. But, of course, there's a war going on in Ukraine, and produce are being held up because of this war in the United States and the rest of Europe because of their food shortage. And this a disaster of food shortage that is coming on with the food shortage. They're talking about sending in warships so they can move those supplies so we can have grain and be able to do something about the food shortage. These are the natural disasters that I'm saying is right here on top of us as we speak. And I know that there are other, like you were saying, weather and different disasters that we're going to be having to deal with. But there are so many. But I am saying, how does one prepare? And I guess this would be a part of the training. But and then when you start talking about the way we used to do it back in, the time of before civil rights, during the time of segregation, we used to do stuff like, I remember my parents, this time of year, this is harvest time all around the country, and during the harvest time, they're taking in produce and they're canning it and preparing themselves for winters or for other disasters as to where they don't have to depend on the supermarket. We never did depend on the supermarket when I was coming up. But again, and I think you said it best, who is prepared to deal with a disaster than the African American? So again, I wanted to have you to see if you wanted to give us some enlightenment, because natural disasters are on top of us. It's all around us. So again, I'm coming back to you, but I just wanted some of our listeners to realize the importance of what we're talking about when we're saying let's get prepared. And having an expert like yourself to help us. So again, I'm getting back to you, but like I said, the natural disasters is not something that's coming; it's already here on top of us. Before I I'm going to get right back to you on that and see if you like to comment.
Yes. Well, of course. We know that we are in a state of war, and it is predicted that this will go on at least for another 2 years. You know, God knows best, not us, and we pray a lot that it does not. But that's the prediction. So, and we also know that Ukraine and Russia are two of the world's largest food producers. They supply the world with the largest percentage of barley, corn, sunflower, oil, and wheat. And those are our basic staples throughout the world. And they are not only that for just as a staple, they are also used in most of the products as an ingredient in most of the products that we buy every day. And there's going to be problems with getting those products. But, however, we can't handle the war situation, but those are also issues when it comes to storms, to disasters. The droughts cause food insecurity. Wildfires cause food insecurity. The tornadoes and the hurricanes, they cause food and property loss, food insecurity. So there is not one incident in reference to a natural disaster that will not affect our food security and our water supply. So how do we position ourselves to deal with that? And like Brother Bilal said, he came through a time where people knew how to handle those situations. I too came through a time where people knew how to handle those situations. And I used to always be angry that I had to grow up in those situations of preparedness. I was the youngest child in my family, and of course, I didn't want to spend my summer preparing for the winter. And the winter, every winter, it was a major storm. So, yes, we can survive this. If there's a food shortage, we're going to have to go back to some old techniques. If you store up food in your house and you have a hurricane, that might not do you much good because the food will probably be gone with the hurricane. FEMA is telling us to do is, if there is a storm, have enough food that's ready to go that will last you, if you evacuate, that is, that will last you for 72 hours. Why 72 hours? Because 72 hours has become the standard now for being on your own, surviving on your own, because it took the FEMA 72 hours to rescue the people during Katrina. So that has become now the standard. So you have the first 72 hours of a disaster to provide for yourself and for your family. And we're going to talk about how you're going to do that. And those are, now, I think it's going to take more than 72 hours, but we're going to go with their standards, and if we are wise enough, we're going to try to have enough food and water for more than 72 hours. Okay?
Yes, indeed.
It can be done. It can be done.
And like I said, brothers and sisters, I've opened the mics up to everyone. So everyone who is calling in, if you can hear us, we will be able to hear you. But at
this
time, yes, go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. This is Sister Joyce in Oklahoma here. And I do believe we have some of our guests from our area. Brother Michael Washington, are you with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm just listening back, yes.
Yes, sir. Well, good evening to you. And I had promised that I was going to allow you to have an opportunity to speak with Dr. Ali here and let the sister tell you, well, you're listening to what her presentation, but also how, you know, and what you do. Sister Aisha, this is Brother Brother Washington, and Brother Washington is very active in our community with the Innocence Project, as well as helping homeless and sisters and brothers who have been or recently incarcerated, who are transitioning back to what we used to call the world, you know, the military term. And he would like to know how, you know, I guess the various populations that he serves could also be, because, hey, preparedness training is for us all, not just a select few. All be affected. And those who are incarcerated who may have some barriers, how can they be prepared for the preparedness training?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, Brother Michael, I'll give you the opportunity to ask us, Aisha, your question.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's a very poignant. You're straight to the point. Again, y'all, I'm Michael Washington. I'm a political activist out of Oklahoma City. I'm not going to take long because I like what I was hearing. Again, I like to, you know, learn more than talk less. But at the same time, I like to say I'm a political activist, a community activist right here in Oklahoma City. Again, my motto is change your world and your world will change around you. Number one, we don't use excuses in my organization. We don't allow people to tell me, well, if I could have, if I should have. You know, you keep that outside the door when you come into what we're trying to do. That's why it matches greatly what you're trying to say, what you're training in and all this here, because I have a large list of hundreds of thousands of followers, and actually some people are close to me here in Oklahoma City. Again, we deal with truancy, with juveniles. I mean, we prepare them to become adults. We also deal with those in juvenile centers who have gotten into trouble. We get them out, and we come and talk with them, be mentors to them and things of this nature. So with what you were talking about, ma'am, Ms. Aisha, the stuff that you people greatly have twitched my ears with is some of the kind of stuff that we're doing. And why not allow us to become a larger audience of what you're trying to do in various states and cities, and therefore we're on the same page to where, you know, we can piggyback off one another and show and come in and be a strength where we may be short on one end. And one last word, I don't want to hold you up because I definitely want to hear more. But by doing so, we have to educate our future leaders for tomorrow, our doctors, our mathematicians, our lawyers, our engineers, or what have you. Because right today you have drugs, you have the pandemics and things of this nature. It's just totally distracting our youth, so again, our leaders, as well as mothers being uneducated, capable of actually talking to these kids on street terms or what have you. Okay, they leave the home and beaten all down and talked all crazy to, and then when they come out of the community, they're confused. So therefore, we try to work inside out, again, last word here, with our families, our children, our community, elderly. No, in other words, my motto is no person left behind. I don't care who you are, what your station in life, how rich or poor you are. If you're on the same page, there's really nothing that can stop us or top us. So thank you all for giving me an opportunity to speak that again. I don't want to take much time, but I just wanted to put that out so you kind of get a feel about who I am in Oklahoma City and what I do. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brother Michael Washington. And absolutely, let's work together because I think that we're going to have to remake this world. We have always been the people
mm-hmm.
who came up with alternatives, and we have always been the people who could adapt, A-D-A-P-T. That's the new word that they are using, that they are saying that the people have to adapt. Well, what other group of people do you know that have had to adapt every cycle of change in this society? So, yeah, I think we should definitely work together, Brother Michael Washington. Mm-hmm. You are a community activist, and you're out there on the front line. Pulse of the people. You have a tremendous constituent base based on what you're saying to us. And
no question.
That constituent base need to come together. So I need to get your email address so I can, after this conversation tonight, tomorrow, this weekend, just to send you an email. And we talk about how we can get a network flowing
mm-hmm.
together. We are That's committed, fine. Summit. We're committed to this training because we know that the training is just the first step. But if we can train up thousands and hundreds of thousands of people in preparedness. And by the way, I saw that there's an organization out in Oklahoma, actually. They put out a notice, and I do believe that they are telling the truth, that in 4 years, they train 106,000 people in the techniques of recovery. Now, we're not touching mm-hmm. recovery. Now, although I am FEMA certified in both preparedness mm-hmm. and recovery, we're mm-hmm. dealing with preparedness, okay? But they said that they have trained in 5 years 106,000 people in recovery. Okay. And I think that's phenomenal. And I do believe that they have done it. All right.
Hey, Brother Bynum, this is Brother Harris just tuning in.
Brother, and like I said, listen, our mics are open, and we ask that everybody sort of bring yourself right on in. This is a community. I say community, but we're coming in from many states. But this is African Americans organizing themselves. So, like I said, we got 2 hours of conversation. And our sister, we're on the subject of natural disaster. We got to stay on that subject because we're in a disaster. So, Brother Harris, it's wonderful hearing you. I know we have is Sister Swan with us. Sister Swan out of Delaware.
That's great.
Okay.
I'm getting going on.
And another person. And I want to ask, is Attorney Williams, Attorney Carrie Williams, are you with us?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yes, and so I'm asking all of you know you're a part of a Black New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street. So I ask, and being the general audience, we ask, like I said, blend yourself right in. We need everybody's comments because we got to save each other. Brother Harris, Sister Aisha, whoever was the last speaker, and like I said, or anyone who have comments, we welcome your comments.
Yes,
Absolutely.
So,
go ahead, brother. What were you saying?
Yes. Thank you so much, sister. I was just listening in. And there's a lot to be done. Hurricane preparedness, FEMA preparedness is very, very important. And it comes back to one thing. We have to own the block. Because when you own things, because when FEMA happens and these storms come, people that own the buildings have insurance. Their insurance pays out. They're taken care of first. We need to be teaching our communities how to buy the block and not just talk about it, be about it. We have traveled all over the country. We have a lot of people talking about what they want to do, but unfortunately the state that we're in as African Americans nationwide, it doesn't matter what state, we're in really dire straits as a community. And in order for us to pull that out, we have to do some things different. We can't do the things of the past of being more of the workhorse. I heard the word adapt. I'm tired of adapting. Let's create something new so that we can build our communities and build something that can be there for the future generations. And so I'm encouraged by what's being talked about, but it all comes back to one thing, ownership. We have to own something. And unfortunately, in the United States, African Americans own very little commercial real estate. When you look at commercial real estate in every major city, you can probably count on one hand how many African Americans own one city block. That is horrible. That's devastation. That's poverty. That is lack of opportunity, lack of wealth, because we don't own what they protect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. After termination, that's right. I agree with you.
So Aisha, again, like I said, any comments you have, but like I said, any comments any of us have. Brother Harris, you know what you're saying. This is what the New Africa Business Association is all about, network marketing businesses, building businesses all over the African-American communities. We've said so many times that the best investment for African-Americans is to go back and get back what we left. And that was our communities. We left our communities around 1965 because that's when integration started. But now that here we are in 2022, and now we look at our financial statistics, and those financial statistics are telling us that our greatest of values was during the time of segregation. We own more businesses.
I believe it.
And our communities was much more valuable during the time of segregation than during this present time of what we call integration. So, again, it's our communities. We need to go back to the values that we give up. There was a time that our monies, the powerful black dollar, circulated in our community 40 times before it left our community. This was the time of Booker T. Washington and the Black Belt Wall Street and the power of Wall Street and Black Belt Wall Street. We're talking about that Greenwood District. So, again, and we have to look, like I said, our best investments and our cheapest investments, just like Brother Harris was saying, is to own our own land, own our own businesses, because if you don't, look at the disaster, and like the sister is talking about right now, the disasters have it right now where a middle-class person who's paying rent could find themselves homeless because of the greed that the markets are calling for as far as a rent because of the housing market is so expensive. So, again, if the housing market is expensive, just think what rent is going to be. Join right in.
Yeah, and I want to say to the brother, you are absolutely right. We have got to start owning something, but in order for us to own it, we have to educate an entire population of people. The people who have some resources, they are on fixed income, and they are retirees. That's fixed income. That population of the baby boomers, they aren't the ones to do it. We've got to start educating these younger people. And if we don't educate them, just like we're going to educate them on disaster preparedness, and like I said, that is a population that is 80% prepared for disasters. Because somebody and something had said to their mind, and I think it was getting into this, like, this fad as a survivalist. You know, they like to go out in the woods and the wilderness and stay and that kind of stuff. So it was made faddish. They are 80% prepared, according to the data. Our young people now do not have the knowledge of finances, and that is a major issue that has to be resolved. They're going to have to be educated, and they're going to have to be given the why should they invest. They got to be given the why. And I think that it's incumbent upon the ones who are experts in that field to give them the why. And let us work together. We're going to give them the why of survival, but I don't think that that's going to be difficult. But you're going to have to give them the why of investing that $1.6 trillion GDP. And I have problems with that number because I need to know how it was all calculated. But they have to understand clearly that the dollar only circulates in our community 6 hours before it's gone.
Well, so that's because it owns anything like y'all said. I mean, you just said it.
They're going to have to understand. They're going to have to be taught.
Yeah, I'd right.
And
can I say one thing, and I'm going to get off that? Yeah.
No,
not only that, sister, but all y'all on point. And let me understand this too. I just want to very briefly say this because y'all inspire me. No matter what, like I said, that's how I get along, even in my community down here. People inspire me with the conversations that they're talking about something. So let me say this right quick. We also have to realize that there's a global, national, and local organizations that's designed to keep us from developing, as you people right here are talking about, economically, psychologically, socially, and the whole works. And that's called Agenda 21. This is a national, global, United Nations threat against us as African-American people. So it comes on education on a number of levels, okay? Anyone y'all want to go to a sustainable development, this is the word that's being used basically in every socioeconomic arena in the world today. And it also sets out the comprehensive plans of the powers that be, the scary folks, the great mathematicians and powerful and wealthy, to design to do what? And then, like you just said, so to control the principal agents of forest disasters and water floodings and things of this nature. But like your brother and like you just said, sister, as well, if we don't own any of these things, well, okay, I want y'all to move out of my community right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to make this a condominium. Well, sir, we ain't got nowhere else to go. Yeah, I don't have anywhere else to go. Why? Because I depended upon you for my independence, for my sustainable development, for my environmental safety and protection. So like y'all said, I'm greatly aware of what y'all talk about, and it's important that we understand that the United Nations, 173 governments of the United National Conference on Environment and Development held in Rio, Brazil, stated in 1992, and that is to control the population rate. Are y'all hearing me? That's why we have natural disasters. That's why we have pandemics. Okay, y'all? That was purposely designed. And guess what? The next one is not quite far away today, right? So y'all definitely on point. I just wanted to say that there. So what are we going to do to get together? And let's get back to trust that has been evaporated among the African-American community. Most of us can't trust ourselves 10 feet apart. So I wanted to drop that on y'all. So you're definitely on point. But where do we establish this trust and also get rid of the infiltrators that's going to be amongst us? I had to say that to y'all because y'all inspired me. Go ahead and thank y'all for your time.
Oh, absolutely, brother. I appreciate
that.
Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
I just want to say, just comment on what the brother was just saying. Whoever controls the resources controls the power structure. Resources are those buildings, those businesses that we're supposed to own and produce stuff. So the reason why our community is in such a tight situation, we don't produce anything that we own and control. So if you own and control all the resources, you control everything. Every time a natural disaster happens, guess what? The people at the top are going to be the ones that benefit. The people at the bottom are going to be suffering. And in order for us to do that, the brother said a key word, trust. Brother Byron and Brother Aziz and all the people that are on here, we've been talking for over 2 years. Help us develop throughout the Black Belt districts so that we can own and control the resources in our community. It has been extremely hard to get 10 African-Americans to come together and do one thing. It's been extremely hard. Yeah. And that's where we have to change the mindset. If you can go buy a pair of sneakers or a car, or you can go to Burger King or McDonald's and spend $20, $30, or you can go to the mall and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, why not put that money into an investment and group together and practice group economics? But it's hard for us to do that. So here's what I would say to you, brother. We can't worry about the ones that are not ready. We got to find the people that are ready,
and we
got to roll with them.
Absolutely.
That's what I mean.
And I believe that there are a lot of them that are ready. I truly do believe that. And we have got to mobilize our young people. But we've got to educate them. And this public education has failed them. These are not subjects that are taught. You know, they know nothing about economics and home ownership. They would not even know how to take care of a house if you gave it to them. That is not part of the education system. So what have historically done? Take possession. Mm-hmm. We have to take control of and be responsible for our own survival.
So now, on the education, when you're saying education, I believe that our communities have some of the brightest and most influential and intelligent individuals ever known to this world, and especially our young people. Our young people are extremely intelligent. if they can get on YouTube and Instagram and do all this kind of stuff that they're doing to make positive influence and make companies billions of dollars, why can't they do that for our own community? Why can't we get them to do it for our businesses? The reason why we can't do it is because we don't have the resources. So our kids, our children, they're looking for the resources. And when they look to us, we don't have the resources. We're talking about getting it, but we don't have them. So what we got to stop doing is stop talking, and we got to put together the resources, make a commitment, make a conscious commitment. If this is something you believe in, let's get 1 million African-American people that believe how we believe and say, look, let's put together $5,000 and we're going to put into a fund and we're going to go from city to city and we're going to build one block at a time. That's how we make change. Okay. It don't take education for that. All it takes is a commitment. Most of the wealthiest people in this world had no education.
Wow. Okay. You know what, brother? Let me say, y'all be sparking in these thoughts. Let me say that again. I ain't going to take long. You're right. And one more thing, brother. Let me tell you something. In every professional or successful organization or group, they're always an embodiment of laws, of decisions, of limitations. You understand? All those things. When you get all this here, money can be accumulated, but if you don't know how to space it out and branch it here and there and all of this, it's just going to quickly go in one hand. And so now, in order to protect your interest, you have to know the law. And let me tell y'all something. I coined this phrase on my own. I'm no question in my mind. And I teach my people down here, number one, law. Now, law is simply an acronym for land, authority, and the word. Okay? So when you start thinking in terms of that nature, then it's no question when you think of law, you're talking about land. Your land, you are the authority of it. It is your word that you say you can or can't do or what somebody can. And now, if there's a disaster or whatever, what it can, I can grow my own peas, my own corn, my own vegetables, you know, my own apples and oranges. So I don't give a damn about what Massa think. I mean, cut your damn self off. Cut me off of your stores. I got my own now. Mm-hmm. That's why Massa don't want us to do this, because we are the harshest, most racist, argumented black folks that they don't want to come up in development. Why? Because they know we have the natural ability, the instinct, the power, the wisdom. That's why they brought us over to America to make it what it is today, the most outstanding country in the world. See, y'all? So you're definitely on point, all of y'all. So let us come together, like you said, and use that law against them, what they even wrote up in their so-called Constitution. Which, again, we know the first 12 amendments did not include you and me. It was only on the 13th, 14th, the 15th amendment that we've been talked about. Other than that, we were talked about as furniture, as cattle, right? So, therefore, we dismantled the Constitution, said, hold up, man, that's y'all's. We're going to create our own now. And the only way you can do that is have land where you own it. I just wanted to say that, y'all. Thank you so much. I'm just, you know, just putting out a little time.
Brother, we appreciate your comments. Well, let me just say this. And because bringing our audience together like this is, and hearing your comments. But let me just say this as far as Black Belt Wall Street New Africa Business Association and the professionals that you're hearing from right now, such as Brother Harris and Sister Aisha. And we have many others. We have our attorneys, Miss Williams. She's a little quiet on us this evening, but Miss Williams, like I said, any comments you wish to make, please do so. But I just want to say, you see, this is an example of what the New African Black Belt Wall Street can do as far as y'all becoming members of our association. We can make it available now as far as the training. You see, we have these professionals that you're hearing from right now, financial planners, investment bankers, estate planners, attorneys, CPAs. All of these professionals are with us and is a part of the New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street. All of us work together. So again, we ask all of you to join us. And as far as the training, you see, this is the type of professional of when Sister Aisha get into her training. Like she said, you will have licensed professionals giving you the advice, whether it's in the financial field, whether it's about your estate, whether it's about your taxation, whatever it is, incorporating yourself. All of these types of training are natural disasters, and what we should be doing for natural many, many different types of trainings we are prepared to do, and professionals to be working with Sister Aisha during the month of July and these trainings that she's proposing. So again, I just wanted to say that I am going to turn it back over to you again, Sister Aisha. But again, and Ms. Williams, if you are with us, we certainly welcome your comments.
I'm still here.
The training.
It's a good program.
I'm very much for the work that all of us are doing in the community. And we are all, in many ways, community activists. And we walk that road many, many, many miles. And we know that our people achieve the degree of wealth during the original Black Wall Street because there was a group of them who came together with the skills and the knowledge that they had, and they brought the other people along with them. But there was always, always an educational class amongst us. We are now in a position in this society where we have got to do it for our people. And if we don't do it, those of us who have certain skill sets, if we don't do it for our people and bring them together into training classes, we're going to perish. I do believe this because we can already see the trend with our young people. And that's going to be essential. What we are proposing, Summit is proposing, and by the grace of God, we're going to carry through on this. This first training for 1 hour, this is pretty much a good introduction. Behind that, 3 to 6 months later, we're coming back to say to you, you've had the first training. Now come into the second training, and that, too, is when you will have the cumulative skills to go out into the community even further and become what Michael Washington is, Brother Washington is, a community activist for disaster preparedness or disaster survival. And those are going to be jobs for our young people, jobs that pay them a salary. Already the federal agencies are looking at that. What we're going to do is give them the titles of what they actually should be. So, yes, there is a platform for this. This is the future we are talking about. And we can make a very tremendous impact in this future. Because nobody has, you can't take disaster away from a group of people. Everybody's going to be affected by it. But if we learn how to control ourselves and our community and set up mechanisms for the survival of our community, other people, if they want to come, they can come. But we don't have to go out and get them. We have got to do it for our people. And we can. So this is not a black-white issue to me anymore because nature don't play that game. Everybody's involved. Every home on that block can be destroyed. So this is how we have got to look at some things. And I thank God that this is an opportunity for us as African-Americans to look at things in a different color scheme. And I see things now in the color scheme of disaster. And that, to me, that's green and brown and white and purple, all those colors, the color of a storm. If you ever looked into a storm, you would see all those colors. So we can do this, folks, and we must do it.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Yes.
So Sister Jewel, you're out there on the front line. Are you still there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm listening. I have all of my attention.
Well, you're out there on the front line every day. Yes.
Sister, I wanted to ask you a question. A lot of us are African Americans, and I'm from Legan too, our sister. A lot of us African Americans, you know, we belong to communities that are not in the community we live in. And when a disaster happens, a lot of times, sometimes it's immediate, sometimes it's a warning. And what I'd like to know is, you know, we're going to always try to help the community or the masjid or the church or where we go for our religious organization and gathering or where we gather around a lot of people. But however, where we live at, in the area like where we live, do you have any suggestions on how do you prepare an area like that? Because many people are divisive. In some of the areas where we live, you have homes, and then maybe a mile down the road, you may have some apartment buildings. Communities are divisive when you use the word community. But what do you have any suggestions on? How do you organize that? Because let's say the masjid or the church that I go to, it may be 10, 15 miles away this disaster is coming, and I don't have a chance to get there because of congestion and traffic and all that. So can you give us any advice on something like that?
Well, when I use the example of the Vietnamese, and I distinguish between the neighborhood and the community, and yes, we are now in a society where the neighborhood is what's right there immediately with you. That might not be total community. Your community is across town. Community means that group of people who have similar concerns who will come together regardless of being 10 miles away, but you have the same concern. It's consciousness of kind.
Hold on. Brother Harry.
Yes.
All
right. I think that's Brother Harry. Brother Harry.
No, you sent me the statement, but it doesn't show how that $2,600 was paid. It doesn't show.
Let me see. Nothing from.
Well, yeah. So when they look at the, so they're basing it on what the credit report says. So when I submitted your file, the credit report showed this Capital One account with $6,170 that had a balance of $2,680.
Hold on. I might have him here. Let me see if that's not there.
That is correct, which I did.
There we go. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's just go right ahead.
And the concept of the community means, it doesn't necessarily mean the neighborhood. It's beyond the neighborhood. It's that group of people who have the same conscious level. It's called consciousness of kind. It's a theory. And I'll give you an example. When you walk into, if you go to a hotel and there's a big gathering at the hotel and there are people of different colors and whatnot, the minute you walk into that room, your eyes, as an African-American person, your eyes subconsciously or consciously, your eyes will start landscaping that room, looking for the person that looks like you in that very past.
Yes.
And you're not, and yourself is not going to be satisfied and comfortable until you find that identity that looks like you. That's consciousness of kind. And the whole concept of the difference between the neighborhood and the community is that you have to identify with consciousness of kind. Because there are going to be some people in your neighborhood that you're not going to be able to talk to about anything.
That's right, yes.
So you're going
to,
your group, your community, the community of the people that you think alike, you have the same objectives, and they got your back and you got their back. That's your community. And
that's what
we're saying. You've got to develop your community.
That's a great explanation.
Not your neighborhood.
That's a great explanation.
Not your neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
There are going to be people in your neighborhood that will come along, but there are going to be people who will not come along. And don't waste your time right now.
Yes,
stick with your community, and your community will be the ones that will save, by the grace of God, all of the people in the community structure. And that's what these other groups are doing. They're developing their community structures. Okay. And we did that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yes.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have a question. My name is Cherie Walker, and I'm from Black Wall Street. I'm with Eartha Stone. And the sister that was speaking earlier, and I'm trying to find out. I live in DeSoto, Texas. They call it DeSoto, Texas, the next Black Wall Street. How do you go about getting the community involved or getting in place where any disastrous event was to take place? And we're expecting an economic storm as well as an economic upset. And we're expecting the currency to probably flip-flop, most likely, as we deal more so with cryptocurrency. How do we go about getting at the root, whereas our people, Black people, have a sure place to go to, because it's going to have to be the Black community that put in the work to at least get it out there into the ears of our people that when this disastrous event happens, they have a place where they can get resources from, information that they're going to need to take with them wherever they go or wherever they must go to hunker down. Where do we start? How can we get a group of people to start going into these Black communities to get something of substance started? Something like an underground that our people had a couple of centuries ago. It wasn't that long ago. It's not even been 200 centuries. I mean, 200
yeah.
years.
No,
it
hasn't
only been about 150 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My response to that question is, sister, is that this is what we are doing. This is what we are initiating. And that is part of the training. You will understand how to use the resources that are available and how to create other resources. And there are there's a lot of resources. And so, yes, we're utilize those resources of the American Red Cross and Red Crescent. because they have been given the public funds to provide resources. So we're going to take advantage of that. We'll use all of those resources. Now, the greatest resources in our community are our religious institutions. We have to, and the religious institutions do have facility. They have a building. They have a building that can disperse assistance, and they do. Many of them do. But the resource, that's the greatest resource in the African-American community, okay? And it's the most far-reaching resource in the African-American community. The other resource in the African-American community are our sororities and our fraternities. They have resources, and they are good at mobilizing and going out into the community. So we will identify, and you can identify the resources in Durham, North Carolina. We still have religious institutions, and we will hopefully mobilize those, and you can do that in your area. But each one of us, we're going to have to become that community activist in our own way. Because remember the greatest effort that we made, one of the greatest efforts that we made in the history of this country was during the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. Of course, the 50s, we developed a great deal of economics. And that concept was based on a community organization concept of community activism. Most of the activists were people who volunteered to go into the community and organize the people. And until we have generated some resources to pay people who are out there as community activists, we're going to have to do this voluntarily because we want our communities to survive. And there will be more information on resources. But it began with what you have, and that's your religious institution. I hope that answers your question.
Sister Aisha shouldn't have to compete with your televisions and other information background noise. If you're not speaking, would you please be kind enough to mute your telephones? We thank you.
Thank you. Was that Sister Bernice Wong? Oh, Sister Joy. Thank you very much. I think it works, Sister. Yeah. So resources are very important.
Carry on.
Yeah, resources are very important, Sister. And you do have the resources in your community. And they can be utilized. And the churches, you know, and the mosques and the temples and the organization, the fraternal organizations, they want to be used, but they want you to tell them what to do. And you can do that. Okay? Come to the training and you get more resources. And also on our website, we're putting together a tab on the website that deals with resources because it's very important. And it's going to take us
what
a little while because...
What website is this? Where do I find the website?
It's Summit, SUMMIT, E as in elephant, R as in Robert, Inc., INC, .com. Summit, Inc.com. Go on, that's our website. And you'll learn more about our organization, our corporation, and how to contact us. Also, we are putting together the resource tab. Our team is working on it as fast and as hard as they can to pull all of these resources together. It's tremendous work. Some resources that are advertised on the federal sites, they're no longer in existence, so they have to constantly go back and forth. So it will take us, I'm sure, another 2 to 3 weeks before we can have that tab up there. But we're working on it. And at the top of that list, it's going to be your religious organizations, your faith-based organizations, and your fraternal organizations.
Yes.
So
okay, sister.
With that
Hello?
And yes, folks, we're still right here, sister. I'm sorry, sister.
Okay.
Yes. Just to follow up with what you're saying, Sister Asia, brothers and sisters, we're trying to have at least 1 million registered registered for this class that's coming up in July. So we need you to spread the word. We need you to have Sister Aisha's information, it's a website, so you can spread the word and have folks in your community to sign up for this valuable information that and this valuable training that we'll be going through. Sister Aisha, before we go, though, there's one other person. You've met just about everyone who is affiliated with New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street. But I haven't introduced you to our attorney, Attorney Williams. She was with us right from the beginning, more than 7 years ago. So, Ms. Williams, are you still with us?
I'm still with you. It's been a very good program.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks so much. I mean, to be... So, Sister Aisha, I want you to meet Ms. Williams. And, Ms. Williams, any comments you wish to make, we certainly will welcome your comments.
Welcome, Ms. Williams. Thank you.
Appreciate enjoying the information that was shared. I think it's a very important question about how to train people to train the homeless and tell them what to do. And I think it's important that renters know that they have to insure their personal goods, but then again, they have to read those policies very well because insurance companies find a way not to insure what you're paying for with your premium. But thank you very much for a good program.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Williams, Attorney Williams. And I wanted to say to the sister that asked the question about the resources, July, we have 6 training dates in July, and those will be published soon. However, the training will be in August, September, all the way through the end of the year, But it is starting in July. And July is really going to, the first 2 or 3 dates in July for the training, we're like testing those to see, you know, get the feel from the community. But the training is for all the way to the end of the year. And then we'll start again and again and again. And we will hopefully, by the grace of Allah, have enough people trained that we can take these numbers to the federal agencies and we get those funds. When I say we, I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about all of the partners, all of the affiliates, all of the organizations, because you all are going to have to hire some community activists. Thank you, Michael Washington, for reminding me of that terminology again, Brother Washington. You're going to have to hire some of these young people, and we will all understand what their mission is going to be. But this is the way we have to roll with this. We have to make ourselves relevant where they cannot deny us. And they can't deny us if we come in numbers and if we come well prepared. That has been our history. We know that works. And on top of that, we will be saving the lives of our families and our communities because these storms will not discriminate at all. And we're going to be prepared, folks. Okay.
Yes, and yes, Sister Aisha, these storms and the natural disasters will not discriminate, and neither will some of these man-made disasters. So we have all kinds of preparations that we need to start preparing for. Again, our mics are open. We got another half an hour. Before we go to our mics, I want to go back to my co-host, Brother Aziz, if you would. Of course, we need your memberships. That's the other way the New Africa Business Association can keep our radio a station afloat. We do have bills. And so if you we do need memberships, those of you who are not members of the Black Belt Wall Street, we ask you to join or consider joining the Black Belt Wall Street. And Brother Aziz will be more than happy to give you information as to how you can do that. Brother Aziz. Brother Aziz, are you with us? Okay, he may have taken a break on us. But anyway, that would be the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, and that would be nabassoc@gmail.com would be our email. And then that would be the New Africa Business Association .com, Washington, D.C. New Africa Business Association, black.wallstreet.com, Washington, D.C. Is how you can get in touch with us. And I
give my phone numbers. Give my phone numbers also, Bilal.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Aziz. I didn't have the information right in front of me. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Aziz. And you can...
I didn't realize I also had my mute on to make sure, you know, that Sister Aisha was being able... We could hear her clearly. And I didn't really... And I was talking and didn't realize I was talking and nobody could hear me. But anyway, for those that's listening to us, the... New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association contact information as is. Our email is newafricaba@gmail.com. That's newafricaba@gmail.com. And our web is newafricabusinessassoc.com. And that's all one word, New Africa Business, A-O-S-C-A-S-S-O-C. That's New Africa Business, A-S-S-O-C.com. And our contact phone numbers is area code 301-234-9090. And that's area code 301-234-9090 or area code 202-903-7278, and that's the New Africa Black Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street contact information. Back to you, Brother Bilal.
Okay, thank you, Brother Aziz. Again, brothers and sisters, New Africa Business Association, we are a network marketing and business identification organization. That means that if you have a business, become a member of the New Africa Business Association and then come on our radio station and talk about your business. Rather than we do advertisements of your business, but at the same time, we ask you to come on during our network marketing and business identification programs, and we have those quite often. This is where you can come on and actually talk about your business, and we do that so we can get to know you as a business person and hopefully do business with you, and in many cases, you'll find that you might be picking up a client on any business nights that we're having these programs by knowing each other and knowing what each other do. And we can network, or you can take the information of the business person and get back with them later. but network marketing and business identification is what this organization is all about. So, again, I am going to open the mics back up. Sister Aisha, again, we're going to turn it back over to you. But any questions or any comments that anyone have, our mics are open, and we welcome
Brother
your comments.
Aziz here. Brother Aziz here. I have another comment to a question to ask Sister Aisha. When she says numbers, are we talking about people that listen to the training, or are we talking about different organizations that register to train?
We are talking about the number of people who have actually registered for the training and have gone through the training. Once you register, you're going to go through the training. And that's what we're talking about. The numbers, the individuals, the total number that we have actually touched by conveying the information in the training. Yes.
Okay.
Did that
so
answer
I have
your question?
In a sense, let's say I got one person. I pay for the program, but I got 10 people sitting down looking at that with me, but I'm the one paid for that program. Do you need the information of the 10 that sit down with me?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
I don't necessarily need their names. I just need that number. So if you pay for that's fine. But we want the we want the total numbers. Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
Sister Aisha, would you also explain why those numbers are so important?
The numbers are important because the federal agencies in their disbursement of funds, and I have to use FEMA as an example because they are the number one institution in America that gets the funds, and they then disperse it to the other seven agencies, like, you know, NIHS and all of the other agencies. So they are now using, they'll determine effectiveness by the numbers of people who have been informed, who have the knowledge of disaster preparedness and disaster recovery. Okay. So they set the standards, and that's okay with me because I accept those standards because they are good standards. They are good standards for us because it does us no good to get funds when we don't have the knowledge of how to use it and what to do with it. We'll be in the same boat we're in now. So I accept those standards. And when we walk in there, like I just mentioned earlier, this one organization, they stated that they have trained in the last 5 years 106,000 people in disaster recovery. That was significant. We can do that in a year, folks, easily. We can do it in a year. And we have the model that we have put together to show how we can get it done in a year. But when I say we, I'm talking about the collective group of us working together. If you have a constituent base, Brother Michael Washington, communicate with me. Get your constituent base trained because your organization will be the partner with Summit Environmental Resources, but these are your people. And your organization will receive the benefits that come to your community, and you will be responsible for dispersing those benefits. And there's a whole structure that we put in place, and we want the total community to benefit from it. But that's the virtual world we're living in, and that's the how we're going to utilize all of this madness sometime of social media. We're going to use it to our advantage. We can't possibly say if we did not have social media, it would be very difficult to say that we can touch 106,000 people in a year. where has that been done other than in social media or during the height of the civil rights movement? It's never. So, yes, we can do it. So did that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Excuse me, I hate to be a bother, but can you repeat that? Because I'm going on the web, trying to go on the website that you said it's called Summit, and then I'm lost after that. You said eat, but can you repeat it?
Yeah, it's Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, E-R, E as in elephant, R as in righteous, Inc. I-N-C. .com. Summit. E-R. Inc. .com.
Receive. Thank you.
Did you get it?
And that training. And that training.
Receive.
Yes.
Excuse me. What did you say?
Did the training date you expect? What date? That's going to start.
We're going to start the 9th of July, and we will have a list of dates for the entire month of July. Then we will have dates for August later, in September, October, all the way to the end of the year. But we're starting the 9th of July.
I wanted to ask the question, excuse me. Did Brother Luke Hahn, were you able to join us yet? Maybe he wasn't able to join.
Say that again, Ms. Williams. Let me make sure I got all the
I was asking for Brother Luke Hahn out of Oklahoma City here. If he was able to join us, but I guess not.
The sister who asked about the website, were you able to pull it up?
Yes, I just pulled it up. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. And if you go to the About Us tab, and if you scroll down, you will see a leadership information about the leadership, and that's really information about myself. So, in order, and I think that'll be helpful as well. Okay. So, are there any other questions? You're welcome, sister. So, listen, please, everyone, be in touch with me because this is a community affair. We are people of consciousness of time. We are thinking alike. And let's work together.
Absolutely.
And I certainly need your help.
Oh, well, I did have some of our channels was open. We just opened a some stations, so you may want to repeat your question, Ms. Lamb.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Yes. This is Luke from Oklahoma City.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, I've been on for about 15 minutes, sister.
Okay, well I won't have to fuss at you, brother.
Yeah,
and I'd like to introduce you to Sister Aisha. She's the presenter. For this training that we're going to be doing, brother, and do you have any questions or comments for our community?
Well, I want to just make sure I got all the contact information right first. I know I got Summit, ERINC, .com.
That's the website.
That's the website. Yeah. And then I got Black Belt Wall Street. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's all a part of us. New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street.
Okay, I got that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, New Africa, BA at gmail.com.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And then
I
the
can
new
see it on anything you may need on any of that, brother. I'm here for you.
Okay, okay, got you. All right, well, I'm all ears and in. Definitely, we're talking about doing something in the neighborhood. I was liking what you were saying about the difference between the neighborhood and the community.
Yeah,
I love that because everybody in the neighborhood sure ain't with the community.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyone, please do go to the website because you need to have a feeling of who we are and what we are all about. We've been in this environmental sector for many years, and I'm on my second career. Before that, I was in academia. I was a former interim director of affirmative action and employment research for Rutgers University, staffing specialist for the city of Raleigh, employee relations officer for the city of Raleigh,
right.
North Carolina, and staffing specialist for D.C. government. So, you know, I have been in the professional arena for over 40 years. And in the environmental sector, I was co-founder of Southland Petroleum, a contractor for Nigerian government in the oil fields. And when we were the contractors for that organization for 10 years, I realized then this is not for me. This is not the way I want to go out with this fossil fuel. We also were involved with a project. We were asked to come into the country of Nigeria. We had an environmental company along with our partners, Land O'Lake, the butter people. And they don't just do butter, okay? And we were asked to come into the country to establish a environmental project using photovoltaic technology to reduce the effects of soil erosion and desertification in sub-Saharan Africa. And it was a very successful project. And then into mining and exploration in both Liberia and in East Africa. So in order to know something, I had to actually go and to the ground floor and find out about it. So I went into the mining fields, to work with the miners to see what they were going through. And I saw the ravages of climate change constantly in everything that I was involved with professionally. I saw how climate change was impacting the people. So this is where I was destined to be, where I am now.
Where you are now.
And I know it's going to take all of our help, all of our work, because we're going to have to survive and we're going to have to save our people by the grace of God.
Yes.
All right, Bob.
I'm
glad I called in today, and the sister been trying to get me to call in. But,
you can't resist
I'm glad
joy.
That
so
I did.
I'm
yeah.
glad you gave in to it. You can't resist it. You know? Alhamdulillah. So feel free to contact me.
Can I make a
at
comment?
Any time.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Am I in? I've been listening for quite a while. This is Brother Arif out of Oklahoma City.
Assalamu alaikum,
brother.
Walaikum assalam. Walaikum assalam. Yes, ma'am. I'm the imam of Masjid Mukmin here in Oklahoma City. And I was listening very attentively to the whole discussion. And my thing is this, just a point of that we may want to reference in our past, that all of our real serious sustained movements have been mostly carried by the youth in terms of energy. And I believe without a doubt, if we don't get the youth involved at every level, even in on these discussions right here, that we're just maybe trying to reinvent the wheel in terms of energy and technology and know-how. When these young minds can essentially hit a few buttons and give us that 1 million to 2 million people exposure, you know. So I would just strongly suggest to us that we involve the youth in every level of this movement, organization, or task that we're trying to accomplish. And even on these calls, you know, I would believe everybody's probably my age or a little older. And I think we're kind of hustling backwards if we keep it like that. Excellent point.
So I agree, we should all try to bring some young people to this discussion on Wednesday night, without a doubt. So if we all work towards that, I think we will be very successful.
As a matter of fact, Aisha, let's give them an assignment to bring a youth. Bring a youth to the Blog Talk Radio program. As a matter of fact, I may have some just sitting on the sidelines out there. Now, any of these kids on here under 40? Hey, who's on here under 40? I've invited them, but I'm working on them. I'm telling you right now, sister, I'm working on them. But so the next time we ask that question, we'll hear some buttons going off in. Here I am. How do you do? But anyway,
I'm going to start working on them.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to start working on them also.
And that's all of our assignments.
Thank you.
And that's all of our assignments, not just yours, sister. Brother Arif, you brought it to the floor.
Yeah.
Brother Luke Mon, Brother Michael, I know you've got plenty. So we can come up with some we can come up with some youth. And we will pound them like I'm doing y'all to get on this phone call. But anyway, brothers and sisters, I want to just say that, and that we're working on getting some youth, because we do need them. We need that energy. We need those people to move about. Now, we may come up with the ideas, but they can do the legwork. So it's one hand washes the other.
Wasn't that the way the civil rights struggle was? They came up, we had the theoreticians, the people who came up with the strategy, and we did the work. We were the ones, the youth, we did the work. We were out there on the street. Yeah, and knocking on doors. It was the same model, and it was successful. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to look backwards a little bit and take some of that strategy and put it in the context of 2022. That's all we have to do. And it's easy, really.
Shalom.
Yeah. We take from our ancestors. Go ahead.
I have probably a question more so. Are we as a community, or shall I say a black community, are we doing anything about maybe trying to learn anything about cryptocurrency? And if there was, or prepare ourselves for any type of civil war for our people, what we must do, how we must act, what weapons we may should have, and how to prepare ourselves if we find ourselves in the midst of a civil unrest.
Oh. Sister Aisha, may I speak on that?
Yes, please do. I was going to answer to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, and sister, thanks so much for your question. You see, that's the other disaster that just like the sister is very concerned about. We all, I know, are concerned about, because after that insurrection that we just had here on our democracy, and it was carried out right into the heart of our capital. If that can happen, and you still have all these killings at the schools, you have the National Rifle Association, you have the Republican Party, we have a whole bunch of hate. We have the John Lewis, a civil rights bill. They won't, they're filibustering the bill. They won't pass it. Yes, sister, you have a natural concern, a natural disaster concern that's coming from man. And as African Americans, yes, ma'am, this is what I mean about. And I've said that coming together, our weakness is that the society, and I say the society, they think they're going to catch us at the where we won't be organized, and we will be more or less separated from each other. This is why the New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street come on every Wednesday, right? And the natural disaster that we're talking about, we've been talking about this now for about 3 weeks, but you can see it's a kind of a conversation that cannot just be overnight. In other words, what we're talking about now, we need to talk about continuously until there is peace in our society, and our females don't have to worry about it. Some white supremacists going to come in and do harm to them. And there is no, seem to be no protection. But no, our reassurance is with each other. And so again, a good question, sister. But to answer your question, we must come together every, and not only our blog radio, but every channel of communications that we can muzzle. Because the thing with the black community, we don't have channels of communications. In other words, we don't have news media. We don't have the ABC News and all of the other news channels that the Caucasians have. So again, anything that we can do to keep our communication and to make certain that we can keep more or less protected each other, because as a large group, like I said, Sister Aisha was saying, our goal is to sign up a little over 100,000 this year. Well, you see, with that type of power, that's your reassurance, because not only are we signing up for the natural disaster, but we're going to be protecting each other against any type of natural disaster. But the only way we can look out for each other is that we must become organized. So a very good question, and that's the other side of the natural disaster other than the weather, is the hate that we have to deal with in this country. So again, another reason for all of us to come together. So again, brothers and sisters, we're coming at our 9 o'clock hour as to where we're going to be coming just about to the end of our show. But we do ask every Wednesday we need you to be a part of this New African Business Association. And Sister Aisha, anything you want to say in closing, I would ask you to go ahead and say it now.
Well, I look forward to all of us talking again next week. And in the meantime, all of you, please go on the website. And if you want to contact me directly, go to a contact page and you'll see how to contact me. And you can call me on the cell or the office number, either one. But please do. Or you can send me an email. So I look forward to hearing from you. And let's talk about this strategy and how we can be partners in this. Okay? Salaam alaikum.
day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people a better day is coming. For you and for me, with just a little bit more education and love for our nation, would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say. And I don't have you here, your white teacher. Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming.
For you and for me, with just a little bit more education
and love for our nation, would make a better society.
And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?